Thank you. I'm going to talk about a program that I believe is probably the first of its kind in Bangladesh to identify and treat serious cases of breast cancer in the country, specifically in the Dhaka division and the Khulna division, and talk a little bit about some of the challenges we faced and more specifically about some of the clinics that we tried to set up to identify these cases of breast cancer. I first want to start by acknowledging some of the organizations that have been integral to making this project successful. First is the International Breast Cancer Research Foundation, and specifically Dr. Richard Love, who is the scientific director there. This is the organization I work with and who has really spearheaded this whole program. We receive funding for our efforts through the Breast Cancer Research Foundation and the Susan G. Komen Foundation more recently. And we work primarily with an NGO based in Bangladesh called the Bangladesh Friendship Education Society, Amadir Gram Breast Care Program, directed by Reza Salim, who was also instrumental in putting together this presentation. Let me tell you a little bit about Bangladesh. It's a small country. It's about the size of Wisconsin or Iowa. Very densely populated, 150 million people. And it's surrounded on most sides by India, to the very south by Burma or Myanmar, and to the Bay of Bengal in the south. It's mostly rural-based, primarily agricultural. GDP, low GDP of 1,300 per capita, with about 45% living below the poverty line. The pictures are kind of the contrast between what you see, the city of Dhaka to the left, very densely populated with buildings, about 20 million people in Dhaka City, and then this rural scene that we drive through regularly to get to where our clinics are based. When you think of Bangladesh, you typically think of infectious diseases, but I want to make the point right off that cancer is really growing in developing countries. These are some statistics from the World Bank. In 1999, with a population of 6 billion, we have about 10 million cases of cancer in general, not just breast cancer, with about 6 million deaths, 50% of which are in developing countries. But what's projected, as the population grows, these cases are going to grow to 20 million, and 70% of those will eventually be in developing countries. Oops. Specific to breast cancer, currently, 2010, these are projected cases. There are about 1.5 million cases in the world, but a million of those are amongst the world's poor, and the primary reason for that is just the distribution of population throughout the world, with 800,000 of those cases in Asia. We estimate, and I'll get into this a little bit more about how we got into the estimates, but we estimate that there are about 30,000 cases in Bangladesh. With the caveat that there is no real cancer registry there. There's one that they're trying to develop, but we've kind of had to piece together our own estimates based off of cancer registries based in surrounding countries like India and Pakistan. And that compares with about 200,000 cases per year in the U.S. The program that I'm going to talk about, I want to give you some background on it. It came about in a somewhat unusual way to address the needs that we discovered. It started out as a clinical trial, actually, that was being done through the International Breast Cancer Research Foundation to identify women with severe cases of breast cancer, metastatic disease among premenopausal women. And it started out, I think, in about 2005, and we were working with the major medical hospitals in Dhaka City. They were telling us that there were cases of breast cancer, but we weren't seeing the results. They were saying that our eligibility criteria was too limited. But we knew, just based on some conversations we'd had and the estimates that we'd done, that those cases really should be there. So this question came about, you know, where are these cases? The typical assumptions that you would make for a clinical trial, that the doctors are going to be identify and bring in the patients that you need to get on trial, just weren't working in Bangladesh. So we had to come up with some unique ways to address this, to figure out where are the patients, if they really are there, first of all, and if they are, how are we going to get them into this trial? What we did firstly, starting in about 2006, which is when I entered into the study, was we enlisted the help of a local NGO. This is the Amadir Gram program that I was talking about. Amadir Gram means our village. So it was a rural-based program. In a unique sense, it was an IT-based organization. Doesn't seem a real natural fit with a breast care program, but it really worked out in a unique way, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. We took on some methods to understand the situation of breast cancer in Bangladesh. We used informal and formal discussions with doctors and community leaders. We had a number of sessions at the local hotel in Coolness City. We did some focus groups with women. We invited women from rural, very rural areas. We went and sat with them in their communities and talked with them with a translator about what were their perceptions of breast cancer, and what did they know? Did they know people who had breast cancer? And we also piloted a clinic, a small clinic, in a town called Bagerhat, which is also in the Colna division. And I'm going to go back real quickly to the map, just to I forgot to point out that we're doing our work in the Colna division. So there are six divisions in Bangladesh, and the Colna division you can see to the left here. So that's where most of this work's going on. Okay. So firstly, from the medical perspective, after talking with a number of different doctors and going and visiting them at their practices, going out into the field with some doctors, we got a real sense that the majority of women in Bangladesh, as we suspected, were dying of the disease. So, and that's in contrast to women in the United States or in developed countries where it's typically a curable disease. They told us, the doctors told us, that most women presenting to them were presenting when they had very advanced disease, incurable disease. And I chose not to share some of the pictures of this disease, but it's really things that doctors from the U.S. have never seen before. It's infected, fungating, ulcerating through the skin. The care that we did see that these women had gotten, if they had gotten care, in most cases they hadn't, but if they had, it was inadequate care. So women were coming in, seeing a doctor who said that you needed to have a biopsy, and then went on to have surgery. The surgery was an incomplete surgery. The women were coming back in 6 months to a year with metastatic disease. And a number of reasons for that, the primary one being financial, that they couldn't afford to have the full treatment regimen. They couldn't afford to do more than, if any, chemo treatments. So the disease rapidly progressed. And another thing that we heard from doctors was that women really do prefer to see female doctors. So we needed to be working with gynecologists in a lot of cases if we wanted to identify these cases of breast cancer, as opposed to what you would think typically you'd want to be working with a surgeon or an oncologist, who are typically male. We worked with a surgeon at Colna Medical College to identify 238 consecutive cases of breast cancer that he dealt with specifically between 2007 and 8. And what he showed us was what we suspected, that most of the cases that came in were of an advanced stage, many of which were incurable. Some barriers that we uncovered as we talked with doctors, as we talked with women. There really were a lack of trained doctors in Bangladesh, particularly in the rural areas. Many doctors prefer to work in the cities. They have more opportunities there. Government doctors typically have a private practice on the side, and they're much more successful at that if they can be in a place where there are many people. So we were hearing stories from women and from doctors that doctors typically would not even show up to their posts in rural areas, which really made that problematic for women who couldn't travel very far to get care that they needed. We ran into a lot of cases or discussions about corruption and fee for services. The government system there is supposed to be free. Women can come in or potentially pay a very small amount to get services. But what would happen is that people who wanted to get special care, for example, many of the hospitals' beds are full, the government hospitals, and if the patient wanted to get in and get a seat or a bed, to have care, then they had to pay extra for that, and many times quite a bit, and that went right into the pockets of the doctors. So oftentimes people just couldn't afford to do that and thus did not get care. And also just poor infrastructure for travel to health facilities. Many of the roads are not in good shape. It's very difficult to get to the health facilities, particularly if the local ones are not operational. Women have to travel into the major cities to get care. It's more or less understood by many, or commonly accepted by people, that you have to go to Dhaka City to get good care, which is really difficult for most women in rural areas in Bangladesh. Keep going the wrong way, sorry. The socioculture and economic barriers to me were really fascinating. We talked with a lot of women one-on-one about this situation and how it affected them in terms of getting care. Women expressed there being a great stigma to having breast cancer, really any type of cancer in Bangladesh, particularly during the childbearing years. It affects their ability to be married. I personally have talked with many women whose husbands left them as soon as they found out they had breast cancer. It's very sad, and would leave them with children. The men would go on and remarry. Families, women and their families, were unwilling to spend the resources to get care, or they were only able to afford partial care, like I was saying before. It's very costly to get chemotherapy treatment there. So they may be able to get one or two regimens of chemotherapy, but then not be able to go on, and thus get insufficient treatment if they get anything at all. It was really interesting because it came across as a very rational decision in many cases when women talked about not being able to afford care or men talked about it. They would say things like, well, my children need to eat, they need to go to school, they need to have clothing, and if I go and get treatment, it's going to take all the resources from my family, and I'm just not willing to do that. Or my husband will have to sell up all of his land, and then he won't be able to do farming, and we won't be able to support the family. So it's a decision that they make based on their circumstances that in their minds is very logical. And that was a surprising finding, I think, for me in particular. Many women do use traditional medicine first. They'll go to an Ayurvedic doctor, or they'll see a religious person who will cast smoke onto them, or things that they believe will help them, or they'll wear amulets, or they'll have things rubbed onto their skin that supposedly will help their condition. And in many cases, women will see that working because whatever they have may not be breast cancer. And so it's believed that that can potentially be a cure. But in cases where it really is severe, it can actually harm them in the sense that it delays their ability to get treatment in the long run. And then there's just this fear of the medical system, which you can probably understand based off of some of the things I've said, if they're going and getting incomplete treatment or inadequate treatment, or have to wait in long lines, or have to travel long distances, they're just not willing to deal with that. So all of those things got in the way of women getting good care. Going backwards again. So we listened to all these stories, and as we were doing this clinical trial, we realized that we had to do something more. This couldn't just be a clinical trial project. And we came up with the idea of the Amiderground Breast Care Program, with the mission of reducing morbidity and mortality from breast cancer and other breast diseases in the women residing in the Khulna Division of Bangladesh. We wanted to start in Khulna, not to exclude the rest of the country, but we really needed to pilot something and see if it would actually work first. This is the structure of the program that we came up with. It's continuing to change to this day. We set up some pilot clinics in Bagerhat, Jeshur, and Rampal to start with. These were very small clinics. I talked about the Amiderground organization that we were working with, and Amiderground was an IT organization. They had clinics, not clinics, but IT centers that were based in these areas, and they had extra space. And so they said, well, why don't you set up a clinic in this space? We can bring in some doctors who can see the patients. And so we did that, and the patients actually came, and we used a variety of techniques to promote that. Some things like miking. Miking is when someone will ride on a bicycle rickshaw with a cart at the back, and another person will have a big microphone, and they'll blast the message out into the village so that everyone knows that this is available. And the women showed up, and we saw some very severe cases of breast cancer, but we also saw a lot of cases that were not so severe, and we could tell the women not to worry. You can go home and come back if you see any changes. We worked with doctors and other patients to do referrals to these clinics. And we've also been working with expert consultants that will come in from other countries or even within the country to work at these clinics on occasion as a way to promote it, but also to do some training along the way. From those clinics, we referred the most severe cases to Khulna, where we had a more advanced breast care specialty center, which is actually continuing to be built up now. And in that case, we may have identified along the way some patients that were eligible for our research study, but actually very few when you look at the bigger picture. Okay, Just quickly, we started out with 5 clinics, but now we only have 4. There were some challenges to doing that, getting people to really buy into the concept and regularly show up. So we have now we have 4 pretty well-running clinics on a regular basis. They're based in the buildings, as I said, the IT buildings that are familiar to the community. They're comfortable to the women. It provides, in some cases, an excuse for the women to go get seen by a doctor. They're staffed by women. We have a female doctor that comes in a couple times a week and a paramedic, which is basically a nurse that's there 5 days a week, and she does patient registration and counseling. The paramedic is great in the sense that she has a linkage with the community. She can follow up with patients. She can comfort them. She can make sure that if they need services of some sort or need to get from point A to point B, she can help them along the way. I talked about the referral system to the main center in Kulna. We also have linkages with the local government hospital in very advanced cases where we need that. Just quickly on number of clinic visits, we started this in September of 2006. The data run through January of 2009. Total of, for these 3 clinics, 29 months with 246 sessions. We had a little over 1,000 women show up. 645 of those were unique, so we had some people coming back for follow-up. And our referrals amounted to 173. In Kulna, which is the referral center, I divided this data out because in some cases there were duplicate patients. We had 92 sessions over a period of 19 months with 869 unique visits, 121 diagnosed breast cancer cases, which is about 14%. And that's actually when you're looking at number of women coming in versus number that actually need treatment and getting care for those patients. That's a really fairly high percentage, actually. Our average age of our typical clinic visitor was 33, but it ranged from 9 to 83, and average age of the breast cancer patient was 38. So implications, we've recognized, as we believed initially, that breast cancer is a serious problem in Bangladesh. By providing those services, these clinics locally, it saves women cost and time. It's more comfortable for them. They can get the diagnosis. In the vast majority of cases, we send the women home and they're comforted and they don't need to go on and expend excess resources to get care. We focused on case finding. We thought that was important. I didn't really emphasize that in this talk, but making sure that women know about specific signs and symptoms of breast cancer rather than just coming in randomly to get checked, that they know that if they have these signs and symptoms, they should come in, and that makes the service much more efficient and effective for them. Sure. Okay. And services can be provided at relatively low cost. So at that, I will wrap it up because we are out of time.